Our reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces.
Well, after meeting Mark earlier in the children's slot, I feel like I'm shortchanging you by speaking from Matthew, so sorry about that, but there we go. Matthew's got some great things to share with us as well. Do keep the Bible open on page 971, if you've got it open. If you haven't, it'd be great help to have it open, and we're going to have some things on the screen to help us as well. I wonder how you react to these names. I'm going to say some names. And just think, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, I'm not going to pick on you or anything, but just think, how do you react to some of these names? Tony Blair. Britney Spears. Keith Vaz, if you've been reading the news this week. Well, I wonder what you thought when I mentioned those names. It's possible some of us immediately thought negative things about one or more of those people, that we judged, we thought judgmental things about one or more of those people. I don't like them, I don't like a particular thing that they did, or whatever it might be. Passing judgment on others is part and parcel of how our culture works, isn't it? I mean, just think of popular culture, think of the X Factor, Strictly Come Dancing, even football transfers. And we'll know that Pep has been in the news with his treatment of Joe recently. Some are chosen, others are rejected, judged, if you like. Think Facebook. Facebook, some comments are liked, some people are liked, others aren't. Or think of things that are said over a coffee or in the bars or in the workplaces of our land. Conversations putting people down because of their appearance or their accent or their character or the things they've done. Many of us, if not all of us, are very good at passing judgment on others. He needs a wash. How could she do that? He needs lessons in parenting, whatever it might be. It's frightening how easily those thoughts enter our heads sometimes, isn't it? And we might think, well, that's just human nature. It's just part of life. But Jesus has some very sobering words for us, as we've already seen. He says, passing judgment on others isn't only damaging to others, it's also damaging to ourselves. But we're also going to see that his words are liberating, because judging others is a poison for which there is an antidote. Just under a year ago, we started looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we've sort of looked at it from time to time. We're coming back to it now, the famous block of teaching Jesus gives near the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. And we're resuming at chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. And the idea behind the word judge is being judgmental, or passing judgment on the lives of others. It could be something that's actually said to someone or about someone. It could just be something we think about someone. So reading in the paper about the latest scandal and being furious about what somebody's done, gossiping in our pew or at the water cooler about a particular person, looking critically at a person and their life, the clothes they wear, the state of their hair, the untidiness of their house, the behavior of their children, or thinking about the life decisions of another person. I can't believe they did that. That's passing judgment on the lives and actions of others. And it can come so naturally, can't it, that it just seems part of life. It's what you do. But Jesus says, don't do it. And he doesn't just say don't do it because it'll hurt the other person, though it will if they find out. No, he says something really shocking. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Not by the other person. That may happen. They may judge us back. But by God, verse 2. In the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. They're shocking words, aren't they, about something that we so easily take for granted. Well, why does Jesus say it's so serious? Well, we need to think about the root of judgmentalism. Later in the chapter, Jesus uses an image that we can all identify with. So he says that a grape, as an example of a fruit, doesn't just appear on a thorn bush, it appears on a vine. A thorn appears on a thorn bush. The fruit results from the root. So the fruit of judging results from a root. And that root is the poisonous, lethal root of pride. It's a heart that says, I know better than that person. I am better than that person. I know what's best for that person. I wonder if you see that in yourself. I certainly do in myself. Just think for a moment about a time you passed judgment on someone else. What was going on in your head? What was behind it? Was it your thoughts about your good appearance? Or was it thoughts about a particular way of life that you follow and perhaps they don't? Interestingly, pride also often goes with insecurity. I know it does with me. We're all made to want to belong. God made us with this inward desire to belong, to be home. And because we're so desperate to belong and we're so aware of our failings and weaknesses, we easily look down on others as a way of thinking better about ourselves. I can say this because it's true of me. There's something that happened to me when I was at school. It sounds very petty and pathetic, but it's something that stuck with me and that I've always regretted. A friend and I were going out somewhere, and somebody else wanted to come with us. He wasn't very popular. And we ran away to get away from him so he couldn't find us. And looking back, I know that came from insecurity. I wanted to belong, and the way I expressed that was by making someone else feel that they didn't belong. So the root of being judgmental, there are probably others, but these are two of them, pride and insecurity. And pride, of course, is the arch enemy of everything Jesus has been saying in the Sermon on the Mount. If you've been hearing in the past, pride says, I'm good enough, I can do it myself. The Sermon on the Mount started, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who realize they're not good enough. They're spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing to offer God. They need to come asking for mercy. Pride is the archenemy of the gospel. Why would I come to God for forgiveness if I'm good enough? Pride was the first sin in the Garden of Eden, saying, I know better than God. I don't need to trust him and his word. So you see, it really is the case that as I point the finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at me. Or as Jesus puts it in verse 3, there may be a speck of sawdust in my brother's eye, but there's a whole plank of wood in my eye. As I judge others, my own heart is revealed, a heart of pride and often insecurity. And that, I think, is why Jesus says judging others is so serious. Well, we might be feeling pretty depressed at this point because we're aware that we do judge others, and we have judged others in the past. The poison of pride is in our hearts. How do we remove it? Well, the antidote to the poisonous root of pride that leads to the fruit of judging others is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So what does the gospel say to me as I'm tempted to judge or to look down on somebody else? Look down spiritually, that is. I tend to look down on people. Although if I see someone the same height as me, I think I'm looking up to them because I'm so used to looking down. But anyway, I might have this kind of conversation with myself. That person has a fault. Okay, they're human. But I only know about one of that person's faults, or maybe 5 or 10 if I know them a bit better. But I know about 500 of my faults, and there are another 50,000 that I don't know about. I deserve God's judgment. I deserve hell. But that's not how God has treated me. As I look at Jesus by faith, I see him dying on the cross, taking the punishment for all those 50,000 faults on himself. He went to hell for me. So as God looks at me, he sees someone without any faults. He sees me as perfect. And even better than that, he sees me as his child, belonging to his family, totally secure, with no reason for insecurity, loved beyond my wildest dreams. I do belong. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I don't need to look down on other people. I don't need to justify myself. So you see, through the gospel, all my self-centered reasons for judging others are removed. So I can look at the other person not through the fog of my pride and insecurity, but as they really are, and with love. And if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, it's great that you're here with us, and we love welcoming people amongst us. Well, this is the wonderful good news of Christianity. This is why Christianity is the best news in the world. Jesus died for you, to make you faultless in his sight, to give you a home with his heavenly Father, that you might never be insecure again, that you might never feel you have to prove yourself again. All you need to do is come to him, poor in spirit. God, I need you. Forgive me. Help me. And he'll make you his child. And if you want to hear more about that, if you'd like to do that today, do come and speak to me or John or someone you know, and we'd love to pray with you that you might do that. Well, let's think about putting this teaching of Jesus into practice. And as we do, we'll think about the rest of the passage. So imagine you're in a situation where you're tempted to pass judgment on someone. Let's take a specific situation. You hear about someone. You hear that they've done something that you immediately, you're concerned about it. You're tempted to be judgmental about it. And I'll walk through what the thought process might be. Obviously, we won't have time to sort of for the cogs to turn in this way when it really happens. But if we've thought about it beforehand, hopefully when it does happen, we can work through it a bit. I do just want to say, before we do, what the person has done may well be bad. Jesus isn't saying that we should suspend all sense of right and wrong. It's quite clear elsewhere in the Sermon on the Mount and in this passage. So in verse 6, he says this: do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. The sacred pearls are the gospel. The dogs, the pigs, are people who are so hardened to the gospel that if you take time to share it with them, then they might come back and devour you. I don't know if you've heard of Canon Andrew White. He's an Anglican minister in Iraq, or he certainly was in Iraq. Did some amazing things there during the wars. And he tells a story of how a couple of years ago he invited some members of Islamic State to come for a meal and to talk about how they could be reconciled. And the reply came back, "We'll come, but we'll have to cut your head off." That's an extreme example of this verse. We still need to be discerning as Christians. We still need to know right and wrong. And it may be right in a particular situation that we do challenge someone or correct them. But it's all about how we do it. So what should we do? First of all, we should search our own heart. Verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So we should ask the question, what's the plank in my eye? Is there pride in my heart making me look down on this person? Is there insecurity? Am I at fault in this particular area that this person's failed? If not, what other areas am I at fault in? Because there will be other areas. Second, we should remember the gospel antidote. We should give thanks that all of our faults are forgiven. We are faultless in God's sight. And we are God's child. We don't need to prove ourselves to anyone. And there's no place for pride. Third, we should pray for them. Whatever else we do, it's good to pray for the person we're concerned about. And then fourth, once the fog has cleared, we're in a position to be able to think about how we can help the other person out of love, to want what is best for them. And at that point, we can decide whether it's appropriate to say something to them or to do something else. And I would just say that if they're not a Christian, then usually it's not wise to point out a fault, because it'll just drive them away. What they need to know is Jesus. They need to get to know Jesus and the forgiveness that's available in him. And only then are they able to confront their faults. So, Jesus says being judgmental is a poison. There's a poisonous root of pride and insecurity. Thankfully, there's an antidote. If we're trusting in Christ, all our past judging of others is forgiven. And as we focus on the gospel of Jesus, we find we become less judgmental and we display more genuine love towards others. Let's just maybe think about those four things up on the screen for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came first not to judge, but to save. And we thank you that through faith we are faultless in your sight. Through faith we are your beloved children, children of the Father, and need fear nothing. And so we pray that little by little, day by day, you would free us of our pride, free us of our insecurities, and help us to love and not to judge. Amen.